Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I'm going to be back in 1 Timothy tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. I'll give you just a couple of moments to find your place. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. Last week, we started looking at widows. And we started looking at Paul's teaching to Timothy about the handling of widows. And I think it is important tonight to review some of that so that we all understand how the words are being used and what the Scripture is actually teaching us, because it's very important to understand this is written in a context of a day and an age when there was no Social Security, there was no social welfare system, there was nothing in place that we have today of social programs. When a woman wasn't permitted to work. A woman's permission and her place was in the home to bear the children, raise the children, be the wife, be the homemaker, and that was her position socially during this day, during the first century. Her husband took care of her. Her husband brought in the money and paid the bills, and her husband provided for the family as he was supposed to do. That was the culture of the first century. When he died, she was left alone. There were some things out there that the Jewish customs had in place, and they would be that if there was a brother, the husband's brother, and he wasn't married, then he could marry the woman, and there were some customs in place like that that would provide for her and her security. But were those not available, she was in trouble. She was in serious trouble. So Paul puts some things in place to handle widows. Now, another thing we need to remember is what the Bible is actually calling a widow. The word widow comes from a Greek phrase that actually speaks of women who have lost the support of their husband. Now, it does not specifically mention exclusively the death of a husband. It means women who have lost the support of their husband. That can mean a divorced woman. That could mean a woman who has been abandoned. That could mean a woman who was part of a polygamous marriage. And there were, in the pagan traditions of that day, there was polygamy marriages. And then the man may have gotten saved, and he put away all of his wives but one. And this woman was put away as part of that polygamous divorce that came about. But the idea of widow here in the scriptures is any woman who has lost the support of her husband. Now that's pretty broad reaching. But nonetheless, that is exactly what Paul is writing about. And he also writes about two groups of widows. The widows who are widows indeed, and the widows who are widows that have other means of support. And that other means of support were family. If there was a surviving child or a surviving grandchild, then they were to take on the role of being the supporting party to that widow. Widows indeed, as the Word of God says, are widows that have no support. They have no one. Those are the widows that the church were to take. Now we get to that point, the church. In the first century, when the church would take a widow, that's literally what they would do. And that's where we're at tonight. The widow would actually become a daily employee, if you will, of the church. She would get room and board at the church in return for work at the church. The church would take in that widow. So Paul was putting down some criteria for that. First, he says, let none that are under 60. If there is a woman that is a widow indeed and she is under 60, then Paul says that she is to consider marriage. Now that doesn't mean that she is just to go out and marry for support. She is to follow the customs. She is to follow her heart. She is to follow God's wishes and God's direction. Because when a widow would come to the church in the first century church, and when she would be a part and she would come and join the church, she would literally take a vow of celibacy. And she would marry, in lack of a better word, she would marry the church. The idea of the nun in the Roman Catholic Church actually gets a lot of its support from this. Now, I realize there's a lot of good Baptists tonight that are not going to take that very well. But it's true. The first century church would do exactly that with widows. Widows that were 60 years old and older, because they were mature women. They were women that had already, if they had children, they may have died already, adult children that had died. They may have moved away. They may not be able to be found. But she is past the years of raising a family. She has raised a family. And she is mature enough where she is capable of fulfilling a vow of faith and a vow of commitment to God's house and serving God's house. And Paul says that's what it's about. It is a character of a person to devote their lives to serving God. So the widow in the first century church who would be taken care of by the church is one that would devote themselves to the church. Well, that's interesting. All of that's really good history. But what does it say about today? Preacher, we're in the 21st century. How does that relate today? There are needs in today's society and culture that the government doesn't provide for. There are needs Social Security doesn't provide for. There are needs that no social program provides for. There are spiritual needs. If a family has a widow, then it is the family's responsibility under God's word to take care of that widow, to take care of her, to take care of thee. Whether it is an older mother or grandmother whose husband has passed away, or whether it is a younger woman who has been divorced, abandoned, or left by her husband. The church, the family, has a responsibility of reaching out and helping restore spiritually that one. There may not be a lot of physical needs. There obviously may be some that can be met and should be met. But the church needs to be looking today at the need that is present in people's lives. And how can that need be met? That's the picture that Paul was pointing to here in this passage about the widows. There are needs. There are physical needs that need to be met, so the church needs to meet them if there's no one else that will. There are spiritual needs in the lives of people today, and in some cases physical needs, that need to be met, that must be met. And if there is no one in the immediate family to meet them, then the church needs to be the immediate family that steps in. It isn't that difficult. Now, there are some expectations of the widow. She is to be a person of good character, good moral character, good spiritual character. She is to be a person that when the church aligns themselves with them, that she doesn't bring reproach upon the church. One of the problems the first century church had, if you remember from the beginning of our teaching in 1 Timothy, Paul's big push to Timothy was to get rid of or correct the false teachers in Ephesus. There was an abundance of false teachers in Ephesus. And Paul was telling Timothy, you got to get rid of them. You got to correct them. You've got to get them to repent. You got to get them out of the way because they're leading people astray. And here was one problem that they had with widows. You had young women who were losing their husbands or who were being abandoned by their husbands. They were widows and they were in need, physical need. Well, a lot of crooked preachers, if I can phrase it that way tonight, a lot of crooked preachers were preaching a crooked gospel, and they were bringing these young widows into their church, and they were bringing them in to do work in the church and bringing them in to be employed by the church for their own personal desires, immoral desires. That's why Paul put down these guidelines for Timothy to follow. That's why when he gets down in deeper into the scripture, he talks about that there would be some that younger widows marry and bear children and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Paul was telling Timothy, don't bring into the church these younger women that are going to bring in with them the temptations of the devil for them and for you and for others in the church to get wrongly involved, to get immorally involved with and bring reproach on the church, bring reproach on your ministry, and bring reproach on them in the community as well. Paul wasn't trying to be cold and cruel, and he wasn't trying to push anybody away. Paul was just simply stating a fact that when you have that type of a scenario playing out, even in God's house, it is a recipe for disaster. The devil is going to use it to cause trouble. So how does that come back? Well, the church today, if we have an opportunity to help a widow, to help a young mother, to help someone who has been abandoned, to help someone who is in need, then by all means, we need to reach out and we need to do that. But I want to share with you from Titus chapter 2, verses 3-5. the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The older women. If we're going to take care of and we're going to minister to younger women through the means of the church tonight, the older women should be ministering to the younger women. Not the older men to the younger women. Not any of those situations where temptations, where the devil has a way of leveraging. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. That's what Paul was telling Titus. Yet, it happened in the first century. It happens today. It happens in the 21st century. That's why when we look at God's Word and we are studying it in 1 Timothy and we're going over these passages, we are looking for instructions, not on how we approach others with things, but how we approach ourselves individually and collectively as the church. Paul is telling us to not put people in a position to fail. If there are widows, we don't want to put them in a position to fail. We don't want to put them in a position where they become idle, where they become bored, where they become discontent with the service that are in, that's coming from the church, and it brings temptation upon them and they bring temptation upon the church. We want to encourage them to be active in roles where they are glorifying God and they're letting themselves be used of God to glorify Himself and glorify Jesus Christ. We want to minister to their spiritual needs and we want to see people saved. Likewise, the widows that are widows indeed, the widows that are widows that have no one else, then the whole church needs to come forward. The whole church needs to step up. The older ladies step up to take care of the younger ladies. There are just certain things that ladies need to be talking to ladies about, not men talking to ladies. Even in the role of a pastor, I can say this tonight. There have been more than one occasion in my pastorate where there has been a need come from a young lady that I felt was totally inappropriate for even me as a pastor to be discussing. And I asked her if it would be okay if my wife Lori would talk to her and give her instruction. And she agreed. And Lori agreed. And did and moved with that. And it worked. It worked out tremendously. God blessed and moved and worked in those lives and things got done. Things happened spiritually. They were encouraged and they were strengthened. And there was no temptation. There was no adversary there. There was no uncomfortable connections. That's what God wants from His church in reaching out to the needs of people. And He, through Paul to Timothy, has given a very beautiful example of that by using the widow as an illustration. And there's some great history that goes back into the church with this. It made for a great introduction. It made for a great foundation to build upon. But in today, in the 21st century, Paul's not telling the church to step in and take the place of Social Security or social services or anybody else. Paul is telling the church to step up and take their rightful place in dealing with the lives and circumstances and situations of those ladies in our society that are in genuine need tonight. And to step up and meet that, whether it is a physical, a financial, a materialistic, a spiritual, whether it is a psychological or an emotional need, whatever it may be, if it is something that the church can reach up to and a void that they can fill and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into a person's heart and life, we should be looking for those opportunities. We should be looking for those opportunities to love people and to love them in a godly way. Let's pray.